Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Reports. We're going to focus on the precious metals move higher today, maybe why the metals continue to move higher, but even I think a bigger picture aspect being that the trend is actually in the bulls' favor right now. It's moving higher and dips seem to be bought. Even the sideways movement recently in the last couple weeks, you can take as positive coming off some overbought levels. We're chatting right now with Brian London, editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference. Brian, when we look at the underlying precious metals prices, and now even the ETFs that follow the miners, like GDX, GDXJ, and SIL, there seems to be just this general uptrend, or at least a lot more optimism, positivity, even just in day-to-day trading, where we are seeing any sort of bear market attacks being bought, and prices, at least right now, holding levels that were breakout levels. So all encouraging, I think, on many different aspects. What's your take from this trend, the overall, I guess, shift in narrative that we have seen in the precious metals?
Yeah, I think that narrative is starting to shift. You know, people were have been asking me, why haven't the mining stocks been outperforming gold? Why hasn't silver confirmed? And if you look at the charts, they really have. Silver has been back and forth in the first 6 weeks of that rally through mid-April, and it's had some good days since. But mid-April, we've seen the gold price kind of lose momentum and start to roll over. And that was kind of needed. I couldn't argue with the people who were saying, well, that means we're going to have a pretty steep correction. That means we're at the least going to trade sideways for a while. And we have for a couple of weeks. But what's been really encouraging to me is that gold is popping back even as we speak. You know, if you look at the last couple of days of trading as we speak, we've seen the gold price chart on an intraday basis has often looked like an EKG as we've had the bear attacks trying to drive the price lower, and then it's popped right back up. Buyers are coming back in and fighting off the selling and scooping up gold at what they feel is a very fair price and just driving it back. And as we speak, we had job claims, unemployment claims numbers come in the U.S., and they were a big surprise to the upside. And on that fundamental news, we see gold up $20, $25. We see silver up 3%. So they're responding now that they have a bit of fundamental news. I think it's really encouraging because we haven't had much fundamental backing for the gold price over the last couple of weeks. But now that we get a bit, it's responding appropriately. It's responding impressively. And yet we still have that big catalyst, that big fundamental shift ahead being a Fed pivot. And that's going to happen. It's been pushed further and further back, but it is inevitable. It's going to happen. So we still got that in our pocket.
Well, Brian, I think you lay out a good case because in all things considered, with silver responding and the mining stocks responding, even when gold is pulling back and holding up better than people would expect, it seems like we're still in this bull market phase, even though a lot of investors still don't believe it. So I'd like to get your thoughts on the sentiment in the space, because I think people are so shell-shocked from a couple of years of maybe gold doing well, but the mining stocks and silver not responding, that when it actually does and when it holds, we always get those calls. And I know that you've beat on this drum before, that there's always somebody coming out and saying there's going to be one more washout, there's going to be one more sell down, and then it's going to take off. Isn't it possible that those people are going to get left behind, though, because the market has shifted to a bull market playbook?
Yeah, Chad, you touched on a couple of really good points. You know, one of the reasons, one of the things I tell investors when they ask why the mining stocks haven't responded is that this rally has been really two things. One, it's been so stunning and absolutely shocking and coming out of left field that people felt that they were being left behind. So they were waiting for a break in the market, waiting for a pullback to get in. The other thing is they just didn't really understand why gold was moving. So if you don't understand the whys, you don't know, or you don't have a good feeling for how long. So nobody wanted to jump in and then just get, you know, lambasted by another slam. So what was encouraging to me over the past couple of weeks is that when gold had its big drop on April 22nd specifically, it dropped $60 in a big sell-off. And over the next couple of days, we saw the mining stocks really bounce higher. We saw a 10% up day on Newmont, if you remember. Now, that really fits the narrative and makes sense when you think that we wanted the generalists to get into this market. They apparently were waiting for a pullback. We got that pullback. It didn't shake their desire to get into the market, so they jumped in. And you can kind of tell that there was some generalist buying in that because it was initially focused on Newmont, which is the only big producer in the S&P 500. So therefore, it's going to be the target of the generalist, the initial target of the generalist who just want to get a position in mining stocks. So that was really encouraging. So now I think we have signs that that big money out there is shifting allocations, not just into gold, but in the mining stocks to gain some leverage.
So Brian, are you, and I know you don't usually buy some of the bigger miners, you do like playing in some of the mid-tier, some of the junior companies. Is now the time to be buying these small market cap companies that could offer some of the most torque to the upside if we do get this true bull market where it lifts all boats?
Yeah, I think absolutely it is. And this is one of those cases where I think even the bigger producers offer a lot of near-term potential. You know, they really didn't get, or at least in their financials, they didn't weren't able to show much of an impact from gold's rise in, because it just began on March 1st. So the first quarter financials really didn't reflect it. But the second quarter financials are really going to show a big increase in margins. And I think that the market cannot ignore that. Even the generalists are going to take note. And as we get close to reporting, I think you're going to see some money pour in on that theme, that there's going to be some great numbers posted by the big miners, and you really want to get positioned beforehand.
Well, Brian, when you think about a strong bull market in the precious metal sector, usually you start seeing silver move, which we've seen it, and even today it's up, like as you say, 3%. But sometimes those silver miners that are so beat down will come like as a dark horse from behind and shoot past a lot of the other stocks. We have seen kind of a bifurcated silver market as far as the mining stocks. Some of them are doing good and some of them are still down in the basement. Do you expect the silver miners to get a pickup here too when the animal spirits really come back?
Yeah, I expect it simply because it's what's happened before. And that's the big argument for silver anyway is, you know, it has always leveraged gold in a secular bull market, a long-term bull market based on monetary issues. And so we expect it to do that again. And the silver miners, whether they're actual miners, whether they're explorers and developers, they have always leveraged silver. So if you like the macro picture, the macro argument for higher gold prices, then you really have to like silver, and you have to like the silver juniors. And you know, really, when you look at it, even the larger silver producers are still relatively small cap juniors in this big scheme of things. So yeah, the silver stocks leverage silver, and silver leverages gold. So if you really want to torque up your portfolio based on that macro picture, that's where you want to be.
So our exploration plays going to start to get some love, even though they need capital and it is a tough business. How long will it take for this money to get down into the exploration stocks?
I don't know how long, but I think it's inevitable. Once you get that fever going, it will trickle down. You know, that said, many, if not most of the exploration stocks out there for silver, at least have identified resources right now. So there can be kind of a thumb in the wind valuation put on those resources in a market where it looks like silver prices will be going up for the long term. So I think they will benefit. You know, you look at companies like Vizsla Silver that is seemingly determined to be one of the larger silver producers down the road. I think investors can start to take that for granted and kind of lump it into the development plays right now, even though it's so actively still exploring. And that means you can look at that valuation and start throwing that in with peer group companies even those in production and see where they will be once they get into production and see that they're trading at a small fraction of those valuations. And again, those valuations across the board are going to be rising as the silver price rises as well.
Well, Brian, you bring up an interesting point there with something like Vizsla Silver or just a lot of these companies that have resources in the ground versus companies that are true grassroots drill plays. So it's the alpha versus beta debate, alpha being a new grassroots discovery story. You know, they make a discovery and they go up because of building value there. Or the beta, the optionality of all those ounces in the ground. Some of those companies still doing exploration as well. Which one do you like better in this kind of a market? The known entity of the beta plays or the wild card optionality of the alpha plays?
Well, there we go again. You know, what I say and what I do are often two different things. I think the beta plays, as you say, the optionality plays now offer the kind of potential you would expect from some of the wildcat exploration plays. When you look at these companies that, and I was saying this before we had the last $300 in the gold price, as you'll remember, that some of these companies who have large identified, you know, in many cases, multi-million ounce gold resources and very large silver resources are trading for as little as one-fifth as you would expect in a normalized market. And what we're going into is not a normal market. What we're going into will be a euphoric market. So those kinds of companies at current levels, if they can avoid having mergers of peers and those kinds of things in the meantime, or takeovers at 20% premiums only, if they can avoid that, then these are companies that will be selling for 4, 5 or more times their current prices when we get that trickle down through the food chain from the majors into the mid-tiers into the development companies. And they're going to be snapped up at very considerable premiums by the majors who are also getting caught up in everything and trying to grow their resource bases. So yeah, I think those kinds of companies, those optionality plays are really, and you know, the classic definition of an optionality play is a big resource that isn't economic at current gold prices. Most of these resources we see out here being controlled by junior developmental companies are economic at gold prices that are considerably below today's levels. They have just been victimized by a malaise in the mining market that's been lasting a few years now. So they are great plays right now and offer that kind of upside potential. All that said, I can't resist a good exploration play, as you know, and I've got a few of those in my portfolio as well.
Yeah, it all comes down to valuations too, because look, valuations across the board mostly are still pretty depressed, even after this rebound. So I think you do need to look at every stock differently and just see what value they are getting for a resource if they have it, or even just their cash in the bank too. There are some stocks that are still right around cash value. So all depends on the type of stocks you're looking for and the type of risk you're willing to take. But hey, hopefully we truly are in this environment where most likely most stocks will simply go higher on the back of this better sentiment. And they have even started to do that. So now it comes into more of just playing that momentum and carrying that momentum forward for this sector, which in all fairness, we haven't had, especially sustained periods of strong momentum for quite a while. Brian, thank you as always for your time. Great chatting with you. We'll chat with you in another couple weeks. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
You too. Thank you, guys.